Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome into this week's edition of Bullring Breakdown. I do want to remind everybody, please like and subscribe on the YouTube page, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify, Woodhull Raceway on Facebook, and Woodhull Raceway 64 on TikTok. Before we get underway with our driver interview, I do want to give a shout out to D&L Disposal. They should be your first call for your waste management needs. They offer a residential garbage route in Jasper, Troopsburg, Woodhull, Addison, and the surrounding areas. Aside from that, they also offer dump trailer service rentals for your bigger needs. They'll drop it off at your location. All you do is load it up and they'll come and take it away. Give them a call at 607-382-7609 to get started with D&L Disposal, the premier residential waste management service in the Woodhull area. And this week, I have the pleasure to introduce that I am joined by the current point leader in the Insinger Performance Modifieds, Aiden Grover. Aiden, how are we doing today?
I'm doing great, Joe. How about you?
Oh, not bad. I'm sure you like it a little bit more that I can introduce you as the point leader.
Yeah, that's all right. Well, we still got three left, so we'll see
Right.
what we can do with it.
Was that kind of a goal that you and Bill kind of set for yourselves, or did you guys just kind of looking to have some fun and
I mean, we went in pretty much, looking to pretty much just be competitive every week. And the first step was let's get a feature win, and we were able to get that. And and then let's get another one, and we ended up getting the King of the Ring there as well, so it was pretty cool. So
Right. How did the whole thing between you and Bill come about? Did you just he just kind of ask you or what?
yeah, I mean, he kind of asked, I mean, he was planning to have Corey Costa race the car this year, but Corey ended up having some family issues, and that sucks for Corey, and I was lucky enough to have Bill approach me and ask me, and I absolutely, this was an amazing opportunity. I mean, Bell has best of the best equipment. I mean, there's absolutely nothing else I'd rather be driving. So I'm very happy to be in the car, and I'm very grateful for this opportunity.
Do you do any maintenance on the car, or does he kind of take care of you that way? And
So we have the car at our shop, and
cool.
I do pretty much everything on it, and when stuff breaks, he'll come up and he'll help me wash it as well, and he'll help, pound some dents out and everything like that. So
So you guys got a two-car garage then.
yes, yep, that's how it is, yeah.
So how are you finding the time to do both of them?
Over the summer, I worked this summer, I worked kind of through the school district as a substitute teacher and a substitute cleaner as well. So I got to kind of make my own hours, which was nice because having two cars is a lot of work. And luckily, I have some of my pit crew, they're always here to help me, grind tires, grease stuff. I mean, there's a lot that goes into it, especially two cars. So that's for sure.
Right. How's it kind of for you hopping back and forth between Outlaw Friday nights and Woodhull Saturday?
Personally, I think it makes me a better driver. I mean, the more seat time, the better. And Outlaw, we kind of struggled with this year, but we got a heat win this year, which was really cool. I didn't think we'd be able to do that. We ended up leading about 10 out of the 30 laps, the one feature there. And just 2 weeks ago, we went 16th to 6th. Then halfway through that race, we ended up cutting the left rear. But, we've had some speed there. But after running Fridays at Outlaw, then coming to Saturday at Woodhull, I feel a little bit more confident with myself, and able to trust the cars a lot more. So
Is there ever the kind of that adjustment period when you hop back into the Woodhull car, say, after a Friday night, you kind of want to drive it a little bit more like the Outlaw car, or do you kind of have that dialed in from the start?
yeah, I mean, I give it about the first lap of hot laps to get back adjusted to Woodhull. I mean, the very first lap I might overdrive the corner in the hot lap because you're used to carrying the speed, like you do at Outlaw. So, but I mean, in the end, I still think makes you a better driver. So,
Are they the same kind of car?
my car's a little bit older and doesn't have as good of equipment, but and my I don't have as much. I'm probably a little bit shy on the horsepower side in mine as well. So, it's nice hopping into Bill's car and having good equipment and a nice solid piece under the hood. So
Right.
that's
Chassis wise though, are they the same like
Oh yeah,
Bicknell?
they're both Bicknells. Yeah,
Okay. Well, that at least should make it a little easier, right? Being able to
yes,
hop.
it does. Yes, it does.
Now,
Absolutely.
does it is it night? Can you ever take a piece off of one and put it on the other if you ever need to, or do they
I
not
mean,
work
you
the
always
same?
could. Actually, I think we're gonna bring I start school this Friday here, so I'm going to be done racing Outlaw this year, in my car. But I think we're going to end up hauling it to Woodhull with us in case we ever need to swap something off it or anything like that, since races are getting right down there now. So
It's
I'm not
never
sure.
bad for the point leader to have a backup car.
No, it's never bad at all. I mean,
Ask Brady
Herbie's got
Schultz.
one, so I mean, never a bad thing to have. So.
Right. So you said you're done with Outlaw for this year. Now what do you, is that college, I assume?
Yes, college. Yep.
Okay.
Yes.
Where do you go?
I'm going to the University at Buffalo. This will be my second year. I'm going for mechanical engineering. So,
Okay.
yes.
What's your end game there? End goal.
Well, I'd like to just end up doing something with race cars and racing. I mean, whether it be NASCAR, IMSA, or even, dirt modifieds or any kind of dirt racing itself, whether it's in relation to building or designing different parts of motors or engines or chassis or anything like that. I mean, kind of just I'll look at internships next summer, while racing, and we'll go from there. That's for sure. But
So
yeah.
do you ever see yourself hopping out of the seat then, or? Because you're pretty young.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just going to kind of play it as it lies and see where we can go with it and see what opportunities arouse. I mean, kind of like this summer, I really didn't expect to be here, racing Bill's car. And, you just got to take them as they come.
Right, absolutely. Now how did you kind of get started in racing? Is that
Yeah, so I believe it was the end of fifth grade, going into or end of sixth grade. The option came about, and it was either I was going to start doing football or race go-karts. And we watched, YouTube videos and what was karting world, and got to the point where, like, well, you can do whatever you want, but my parents didn't really want me to do football because that's dangerous in its own way, but racing, is just as dangerous. And I'm like, I've always loved NASCAR, so I said, I want to race go-karts. So we ended up getting into that and we raced those for a few years. So yeah, that was pretty much where that started.
So, were you the first one in your family to race?
Yes, I'm the oldest. There's four of us and I'm the oldest. And yes, but my parents, they drag race, but we have zero, no one in my family's ever dirt raced. So I'm the very first to do it. So.
What about your siblings? Do they ever get, are they interested in it or?
My sister and my younger brother there, they've hopped in a go-kart and they both have multiple feature wins actually and the very little times they've been in them. But my little brother, he seems to be more into football, so he's doing that. He's doing that route. So
He went the opposite way of you.
he's doing the opposite, yeah. But the
Oh.
youngest, give him one more year and I think he'll be able to fit in a go-kart here, and I think he might go the whole way, I think.
Old
So
is he?
he's five now, so
Five.
he's getting there.
Okay. I got a 2-year-old, so I was wondering how much time I
Yeah.
had.
Yeah, you got a little bit of
I know
time.
they put them in there young now, so I didn't know.
Oh yeah, they do. Oh yeah.
Yeah. I wonder, I see, because I see Bryce Davis's boy, he's racing, and I kind of
Oh yeah.
wonder how old. I wish I knew how old he was. He's got to be 5 or 6.
Yeah, oh yeah. No, they start
He's
young.
yeah, he's winning, so that's got to be fun. It's got to make it a little bit more fun when you win early too.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, my first year in go-karts, I didn't get a win the first year, and I had a 1990 chassis. I mean, we still got it, and I was able to win all the way up till, all the way up till the end with it. And we got it off the neighbor's wall down the road. He's a good friend of ours, and we got it from him. It was his daughter's old one, and that actually had number 21 on it. So I've been 21 ever since, actually. So kind of carried
Really,
that
that's how
over
you
to the
came
first.
up with it? Just
Yeah, that's how the number came about. It was just kind of given, and we said, no, I'm just going to stick with it.
did
And
you
we
add
added
the
the G
G?
on then. Yeah, we added the G on just because the bigger cars, and we've planned on traveling. We said, well, we don't want to add, like, we always used to have to add like a duct tape X and it looked sloppy. So we're supposed to put a G on it and hopefully it'll be good. So,
Right. Yeah, I always wonder that because there's what 99 numbers to pick from, and
oh, yeah.
it seems like there's a whole bunch of 21s, there's a bunch of
Absolutely.
ones,
Yeah.
there's a bunch of fours.
Absolutely. I've
Just
noticed that too. Yeah.
yeah, just seems funny. There's a bunch of numbers, but then there's ones that you just like. I don't know. If you ever seen like a 67,
Oh yeah, stuff like that,
it's kind of funny how everybody just kind of goes to the same number, and yours is just
yeah.
completely random, really.
Yeah, it was random to me, If I had the choice, I probably would have picked 18 because Kyle Busch was my favorite driver. He still is, but that was what he raced at the time, So I I would have went with that, but I said, no, let's just keep the 21. We've always been with that, so that's
Right.
cool.
So, it's, do you think if you would have kept it, would you have switched to eight?
I mean, I probably, yeah, I mean, no, but
Maybe.
I like the 21, so
Yeah. Yeah, it fits. It's good. I like the G too. I like how I
I
can
like it
see
too, yeah.
it.
Yeah, I like it. We made sure we that would pop a little bit, so.
Yeah, well, you don't you wouldn't believe the amount of times that I can't see it.
Yeah.
But luckily I know all you guys so I can get away
Oh,
with it.
yeah.
But there's a lot of
Absolutely.
them that are they're tough to see. Sometimes I feel
Oh,
bad
yeah.
for announcers that don't see the car regularly, but
Oh, I agree. Yeah.
you know,
That's for sure.
it is what it is. You gotta make it look good. So, because,
Oh, yeah.
and I think in the rule book it actually says you're supposed to be, like your number is supposed to be really big,
It
but
is. Yeah.
I
It's
don't
supposed
think
to be.
anybody either. I don't know.
No.
Nobody wants that big block letter next to their number, you know.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly. So.
So when you hopped out of go-karts, then what'd you do? Did you go right to a sportsman or did you
Yep. Yep. So we ended up the final year in the go-karts there. I believe it was 2019. We won the championship in the go-karts, and we said we're gonna move up. And, you know, and we went to a couple races at the end of that year at Woodhull. You know, watched them, and we're gonna buy a four cylinder. You know, get into the Warriors there and get to that. Then we talked around. We talked to Connor Brown and Brandon Martin there, and they said, you know, I'd get in that and I'd be in it for a year, then I'd want to just move up already. So they said, let's just get me right into the crates there. So I started that at, I was either just shy of 13 or 13 years old when we hopped in the crate there. And I ended up getting the rookie of the year the first year in that. So that was pretty cool at Woodhull. So that was
So
good.
how'd that conversation go? Were they all for your parents all for it when you wanted to go to the sportsman? Or I imagine
Yeah.
your dad might have been, but you might have had to talk your mom into
Oh
it.
yeah, that's pretty much exactly how that went. I mean, we had to talk her into it, and then Connor Brown, we ended up going to a shop there at the end of the season that year, and he let me drive his car around the driveway, and that was the first time I've ever been anything like that. You know, he taught me how to shift it and stuff and drive these, and it was a when I was driving that, I said, yeah, I really want to race one of these. So that was about how that went down. And I was doing baseball at the time there. Then the following March, my dad and his best friend, they end up coming back from Syracuse, and they brought a car home. So that was pretty cool. And we started putting that together. So,
What was the learning curve?
well, the biggest thing I think is the open wheels. You got to get used to that. And I mean, I knew it was, I made that very first practice. It was a practice we made. It was my first time in the car at Woodhull and in the crate. And very first lap, I went over the bank. So I got that fear kind of out of the way early, you know. But, then we ended up having the drive shaft go bad in that practice too, so I kind of got to experience multiple faulties at least. But no, it was definitely different though. I mean, the turning radius is a lot different too, so
Yeah,
from
I don't.
go-karts.
I've never really driven any of them. I've driven go-karts at, you know, like I don't know, like amusement parks, but nothing really, you know. I don't know if they're the same or not, but I've got no experience in a race car whatsoever. So I always
Yeah.
wondered what the learning curve was, as you said, like a 13-year-old moving from a go-kart to a sportsman. That's a pretty big jump.
Oh
You
yeah,
don't see
no.
that a lot.
No, you don't. And it's definitely a big jump, you know. And I mean, luckily we're able to adapt somewhat quick. I mean, the biggest thing is just learning setups and all that stuff. And that was actually a torsion bar car, so I got to learn all that stuff, you know, in the years. And that was the only crate car I had for like 3 years there. And then we went to modifieds, and that was coils, so I had to relearn it all, you know. So that's what made it difficult, but.
So when you went to you went you said you went to modified and you got the coils. That's when you switched over.
Yeah, when we bought the modified, it had coils already on it. It
Okay.
was a bar car converted to coils. So I just kind of had to relearn everything, you know. And you get a lot more rollover in those cars. And when you hit them, they react a lot more when you hit a bump. So it's a little bit tougher to drive. But I'd say 90% of the time, coils are, you know, probably going to be better unless you get a really rough track. But I
Right.
mean, Woodhull's been pretty smooth actually this year. So I mean, I think the coils have been definitely where it's at. So that's
Do
for sure.
you prefer the coils then?
Personally, I do,
Yeah.
yes. I think there's more adjustments that can be made too, you know. You can just play with one corner of the car rather than, you know, doing at least two or four. So that's also in your favor.
Right. So what's your week look like then? You're so not now that school's starting. Let's just
Yeah.
say like all summer when you're trying to get both cars ready. Do you kind of just get the outlaw car ready first and then switch over to the Woodhull car, or how
Yeah.
exactly do you go about your week?
Yeah, so I mean, we'll start on a Friday. We'll race the outlaw car Friday, and we'll go home, unhook that trailer. Then Saturday morning, I'll take everything out of that trailer, load it in the other trailer, and whatever's needed, you know, just a couple extra power tools and stuff. You never know what you'll need, so I like to be prepared. Then hook that trailer. We race Saturday. Then Sunday, I'd say about 60% of the time, most Sundays, I can get both cars washed, you know, but that's a lot because I strip them all down to just to wash them. So that takes absolutely all Sunday. And I'm about whooped. So I, and Monday, you know, I'm kind of a little bit slower, you know. I'd like to, I usually, you know, I like to work a couple days of the week, you know, the 8-hour shifts there, but I did the most I could, you know. And then obviously when rain outs, I worked more. But on Mondays, I kind of just went through and, you know, greased everything, did stuff like that. And Tuesdays, you know, we have about almost 20 tires now doing two cars, and boy, it takes a lot of grinding, you know. And luckily, I have a couple buddies that every once in a while they can come up and help, and that helps. Otherwise, it takes the majority of the day on Tuesdays when you do it yourself. And new tires themselves take forever because you got to cut them and swipe them and do all that as well. Then, you know, we like to have a parts order in by about Wednesday, you know, in case something breaks and you got to order it. And, then it's already Thursday again, so I've got to have, you know, both cars already scaled out, ready to go, and, you know, go to the smasher, see what adjustments you want to make. So, yeah.
So you said parts order. I just want to touch on that. Is that something you do every week or only if you need to?
Well, pretty much only if you need to, but some stuff we just like to keep up on. I mean, you know, tires, you know, sometimes, you know, we like to buy them at the track, but if we, you know, forget or something, and we forget to, we say, oh, we'll head up to Trackside Products there. I'll make the hour drive up there and back to grab a tire and get that mounted and see what else we need, you know. I mean, pretty much this past week we had to get a parts order in. I mean, kind of made a little bit of contact there, but luckily it wasn't anything too bad. So,
At Woodhull.
yeah, got into a made a little bit of contact with a lap car there. I mean, I'm not sure if something broke or just whatever it was, but it was just a racing deal. I mean, luckily it didn't hurt anything bad, but you'll have that.
Yeah.
And that 50 lapper, we got caught in three wrecks there, and that was the most the car's been hurt all year, but I had nowhere to go in all three of them, you know. But that's also racing, so.
So how does that work? How does that work? Is because you're driving for Bill, so not your outlaw car, but your Woodhull car. When you're driving for Bill and you have a night like that, what exactly do you say anything to him, or do you just kind of both realize that, hey, that didn't really go the way we were planning? Let's regroup tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much how it is. We'll regroup the next day and assess the damage and we'll see if we can fix it or if we already have the part or if we need to get something used or new, you know. I mean, I've got quite a bit of stuff from Ron Cartwright this year, you know, helping me out. So that's been pretty cool itself, you know, because he's got a lot of used parts, you know. He's pretty good with that. So,
Yeah,
but yeah.
you got to go to these older guys that have sheds and sheds of parts and
Oh, yeah,
pieces.
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's about how I think most of the younger guys do it. But
Oh,
I was
yeah.
going to say, do you have any help with these cars? Do you get help?
Yeah, I have my buddies, Hunter Wilson. I mean, he moved to Georgia now, but he was just up there last week. We raced 4 out of the 7 days, you know. I was, you know, I love racing, you know, race most we can. He was up for that, so I'm glad he got to be part of that. And we got the King of the Ring one while he was here, so that was really cool. That and Philip Borden, Cameron Kennedy, and Dominic Eberlin, they've been coming almost every week, you know, to support me. And we're changing tires, adding fuel to it, you know, after the heat races. We're grinding tires, and they've learned a lot too, you know. I mean, now we're at the point we're chasing the championship and chasing some more feature wins, you know. And it's a team sport, you know. And I don't think a lot of people realize that, but it really is, you know.
Well,
A lot
I just,
goes into it.
oh, go ahead.
A lot goes into it, that's
Yeah.
all.
I just wondered, 'cause you're so young. I figured it'd be really cool to tell all the guys in school that, you drive a dirt modified, and then you get all the help. They could come up and help you during the week and
Oh
stuff.
yeah.
Is that not quite the way it works out, the way
Well,
I'm thinking?
while I was in high school, you know, I don't really just go out and tell people, you know, and you know, teachers always ask, you know, what do you do? And you know, well, that's all I do, you know, that's all I know. And I tell them, then I show them pictures, you know, and you can tell they really don't understand, you know, and they don't get an idea of what it's like there. And then, you know, one of my sponsors of GP Wilson, his wife, Sarah Wilson, was the assistant principal there at the high school the year I graduated. And she allowed me to bring my car to the our senior day and have it on display. And that was when all the students actually got to see it and all the teachers could actually see it. And I was actually able to start it too. And then it was at that, then people actually realize, what it is and what it's like. So that was pretty cool itself. So,
Was that a modified or a sportsman?
oh, that was the modified. Yep. That
Yeah.
was just, yeah, it was a little over a year ago. Yeah.
Okay.
2024, that was. Yeah. So,
So what made you hop up into a modified? You just felt it was time, or?
yeah, I mean, Frank Dunning, he had a car for sale and it was a pretty good price. And, we were somewhat, we're somewhat close to Frank. And, he said, he, and Nate, Nate Dunning, he's one of my big sponsors. He's always been since go-karts, and kind of just said, you know what? We're going to get either a new crate car, and be competitive, or for the price of his, we could just go out and start, getting our feet wet in the modified. So we said, and eventually we wanted to work our way up to that. So we said, well, let's just do it now. So we ended up going with it. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Kind of unexpected again, but
Right. Well, it seems like you just kind of dive in whenever the opportunity's there.
yes, I mean, you don't really want to let it slip away,
Sure.
because you never
Yeah.
know when it can come back. So,
Well, I always thought that, when you had somebody come up to you and ask you if you wanted to drive a race car, that's a pretty good deal,
exactly, yeah. It doesn't matter what it is, you can't really, I wouldn't turn it down,
Right.
Yep,
Well, I
race
don't know
cars are
very
great.
many that would, but
Yeah, I know.
I'm sure they're
Yeah.
out there, but
Oh, yeah.
I think most guys want to race them. But sometimes,
Absolutely.
sometimes things get in the way of that. So,
Absolutely, yeah.
when you were talking about high school there, did you go to high school in like a city?
The Corning Painted Post High School here. I mean,
Okay,
there's
and
quite a few kids in the class. There was like 370 almost in the graduating class. So that was pretty cool. But yeah, I mean, not, I mean, I guess it's a little bit bigger in Jasper, I guess, but
right. Well, no,
yeah.
my thought was more that I could tell you didn't go to Jasper because I feel like everybody would have known you had a race car if you went to Jasper
Yeah.
or Addison or
Yeah. Yeah. But
but
yeah, I mean, Corning is a little bit bigger, and I just have the buddies that come to the track now are pretty much, all I ever talk to, I mean, you have your close friends and that's kind of it, so. And obviously I have, all my dad's buddies, they help just as much on the car, whenever we need welding done or anything like that, we all come together. We actually, the chassis we had at Outlaw had got in the wall with it this year and junked it, sadly. And we were able to, we got a new one there, and we were able to transfer everything over from that car to bare chassis in 1 week. We were able to do it. So that was pretty, first time I've ever done that, but that was long, barely any sleep that week. That's what that was. But
Right.
we did that.
Was that your second bad one at Outlaw? Didn't you have one last year that was pretty gnarly?
Yeah, I had that Super Series race last year. One of the guys broke right in front of me. I had nowhere to go in the heat race there, and that kind of destroyed almost the whole right side of the car that race too. So yeah, no, when you wreck it out, well, you wreck pretty bad though. So
Yeah.
that's for sure.
Yeah, you're really wide open. So I've
Oh yeah,
been told.
absolutely,
I
yeah.
don't know jack about race cars, but that's what I've been told anyway.
Oh yeah, yep.
Do you have a track that you prefer? Just what fits your style maybe a little bit more?
I personally, I like Woodhull more, and I think just maybe might just because I have like, more seat time there. But I mean, Outlaw can be very racy and very fun, I mean, but I like the high banks at Woodhull. I really like that the most. So
Yeah, I've
makes it
always said
interesting.
the one thing I really appreciate is just how much it kind of evens everything out,
Oh yeah, that too, yeah.
you still need good equipment. I'll never say you don't, but you could come with lesser equipment and run, top five, top 10 and have a
Oh yeah.
pretty good night without really having top of the line stuff, and
Oh yeah.
I think over at Outlaw, sometimes it gets a little tough, especially if your motor's kind of lacking.
Oh yeah, that's kind of the issue we faced this year, and I mean they handicap it every week too, and I know we're not in the points race, but boy, it's still difficult because those guys are top notch. That's very stout equipment, all them guys have. So I mean, just you make the most of it. I mean, that's how you get better. I mean, you just kind of accept the fact that you can't win every race. I mean, and then you hope, and then you slowly build upon and make up soul upgrades, you know, and realize where the money should go. But yeah.
Do you ever see yourself driving anything other than an open wheel race car? Like going to a late model, you think you'll ever sell out your modifieds and go hop in a late model?
I don't really plan on it. No, I mean, I love the modified and I'm happy with where we're at with it. So I love the way they feel. I've never drove a late model. Would I like to drive one? Absolutely. Just to see what it's like. And kind of the same thing with a sprint car. I'm not saying I'd want to go race one by any means, but at least one time, maybe hop in one and see what it's like. I think that'd be really cool. And also a midget. That's kind of on the bucket list too. But I think I'll always like the modified and, you know, the way you can just set them in the corner and they roll right over. But that's pretty. And you, I mean, you look at sprint cars and stuff like that. I mean, sprint cars don't really have like super close racing, you know, but just because they're kind of just wide open. Modifieds, you can have great side by side racing, you know, about every lap sometimes, you know, and that's what makes it fun.
Yeah, I don't know how you guys do
Well,
it.
it can be tough sometimes, but.
I would. The worst thing that one of the worst things that ever happened to me is I got this podcast, because there's times where I have to call people out for spinning other people out, and then I come off and look like that because I'd hit everything out there. I mean, I don't know how you guys do it. I've seen some of the pictures of you guys going into turn three and four, and just how close you guys are, and the
Oh,
fact that
yeah.
you guys don't just wad each other up every lap is, pretty unbelievable to me.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes, you know, you're racing side by side, can't fit a piece of paper with somebody, you know. I mean, me and Dayton were there that one race, you know, and he won that race. And boy, we got really close sometimes. That was just great racing, was all that was, you know, and that's what makes it fun. So.
Yeah, that might be one of the best races of the year, especially in the modifieds. I think maybe the hobby stocks have a couple races that were a little bit better, but I think modified wise, that might be the best race of the year.
I
That race was
absolutely agree.
phenomenal.
Yeah, that was very fun. Very fun.
Yeah, and I know you probably wish that you were able to pick off one more spot, but.
Maybe, but I bet if you asked Dayton, I bet even though we won, he was probably stressed out while leading, but I was having fun trying to make it work to pass him. So that's fun.
I always thought too, as a race car driver, you'd rather it's got to be more fun to race like that than it is to now, don't get me wrong, you'll take the wins and they're fun too, but racing like that, I've always thought was probably more fun than going out and winning by half a track. But
I agree with that.
then I guess, if you struggled for so long and then you go out and win by half a track, that's got to feel pretty good too.
Oh, that, yeah, definitely. Definitely
Yeah.
agree with that too.
So I gotta pick on you a little bit here. So that night that you won the King of the Bullring, you put a broom in your in your post.
Yeah, I
Is
didn't
this
get
the
to hang
point of
one
the
though.
show where I get to tell you that you didn't win your heat race, or?
No, that's true. Yeah, we started last in that heat race, so I made it true, you know.
And the only reason why I thought that is because Terry Pierce told me in Victory Lane, he said you couldn't get the kid a broom, and I had to
Yeah,
come.
that's why I did that picture because
And I had to
when
come up with something as to why I didn't, and then I go, well, you didn't win the heat race, so.
that is true, you know. And I wasn't gonna do the broom, you know, but I posted that. I think it was funny because Terry said that.
It
So,
is funny.
but yeah.
If the worst thing that happens that day is you didn't win the heat race, then I think that's okay.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Granted, you
Yep.
might have one more point on Dayton Brewer,
Oh, that's true. Yeah. I mean,
but of course,
yeah.
I don't know. Hopefully he can get okay. I think he had a little bit of motor issue
Yeah. Hopefully, you can get that
Saturday.
figured out, you know. And that's not.
So as a competitor, you're currently battling in the points. What are you thinking on Saturday night? You didn't have the best run of the year, I'd say, for
Oh,
you and
yeah.
your team.
Absolutely not.
But what are you thinking when you see Dayton Brewer go off early, Brady Foltz pull in, kind of everybody that you're up there competing with is, I guess, just breaking parts, and
Yeah.
you're able to have a kind of a bad night, but at the end of the night, kind of a good night.
Yeah.
Do you focus more? Kind of the race by race deal, or do you look at that and say, well, you know what, we didn't do the best we could this week, but at the end of the day, we still were able to build for the points and come away on top this week?
Yeah, I mean, that was honestly, that's about how it went because I mean, I'd say that was probably one of our worst nights so far this year, other than we went forward, you know. I mean, we struggled that other night. We had to start 12th after we won. I mean, we went, I think, 12th to 10th. That was it. I mean, that was sprint car night, though, so it was really dry and dusty, and there wasn't much of a top. But I
And
mean,
the pump broke.
oh, yeah, that too. Yeah, that was the night the water truck there
Yeah.
broke. I remember Nikki saying that. And That was rough. And then went 12th to 8th. I mean, that's nothing to be happy about, but you can look at it. And yeah, I mean, it sucks for those guys. And I mean, just kind of scares me myself, like, oh boy, because this can happen to anybody,
Yeah,
and
right.
you got to just try to stay on top of stuff and then, just take it one step at a time, and say, let's try to do it.
Right.
Yeah.
So do you like the rule that you probably didn't that week, but do you like kind of it's not a handicap, but if you win, you can't start farther than 12th?
I mean, I like it. I think it gives a fair chance, for everyone else. You can't just have one dominant guy by any means, but I mean, yeah, I mean, the only thing I don't really, it kind of sucks. Like sometimes you can win and we have the 16 cars and you only have to start eighth, while the two
Yeah.
times I won, we had 17 cars this last week, so I had to start 12th instead of eighth, so that kind of sucks. And you're that far back in the pack, then it lets, other people getting the redraw easier, I guess you could say, because there's more redraw spots, but and it just makes it a little bit more difficult to pass, depending. But
This is what I've always said about that. I watched Billy Van Pelt pass a lot of cars in a
that's
feature
true.
race.
That is
I've
true.
always said if you have if you've got the car to beat, you'll make your way up front.
Oh yeah, no,
But
I absolutely agree with that.
I can also sympathize with the fact that when you win your feature race and then you pull in the next week, it's oh damn.
Oh yeah, no, that's true. But I mean, no, Billy, yeah, Billy could pretty much start anywhere sometimes, and he'd still find his way to the front. So I mean, if you got the car and the tracks in your favor and everything falls right, I mean, you can easily get to the front. There should be no excuses, and you just got to be on top of it every single week. I mean, talked to Jake Jin after, congratulated him on his win this week, and he said he's going to show us pups how it's done this week. So, I'm looking forward to it, Jake. I'm pretty close to Jake, so I thought that was pretty funny. So,
You ask Jake about the last time he told me before a race he'd see me in victory lane.
yep, I'll do that.
I think he blew a motor.
Yeah. Oh boy.
So you might want to tell him to make sure that he's a little safe on his bets this week. I'd love to see it though. That's
No, I that's what I said. I said, yeah, I'd love to see it, because if you think about it and you look at it, there really hasn't been anyone that has really. Carter Crooker did at one point, but kind of found
But
his way towards the
I think
front
he
there.
finished
But
second.
yes, I think it was second or third. Yes,
It
yep.
might have been that
But
week
I
you
mean,
won.
might, yeah, something like that. But yeah, no one's gone back to back yet. So I mean, but easily still can be done. So there's no doubt in that.
You and AJ are the only two that have more than one feature win.
That is true. Yes,
I mean, that's in
I didn't really think of
AJ
that.
AJ's he's not going to come all the time. He's probably I don't know Thunder Mountain's schedule, but I imagine most of the rest of the year he's not going to come. So,
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, oh, he's got Woodhull figured out really well, but luck also has to play in your favor, I mean, he's been there three
absolutely.
times, but he has started near the front some of the three times, and that does help, but I'm not docking him by any means, 'cause he's really fast, so.
Yeah. Well, like you said, if you have to start 12th or 10th or you can do everything right. And you were talking about Billy, and some luck goes into that too, because sometimes Billy can't control it if he starts 20th, but the car
Yeah.
that starts 19th spins out in front of him and wads up two
Exactly.
race cars,
And that was kind of what we had happen in the 55 lapper there. We started eighth, which wasn't terrible because the race before that we started ninth and won it, but we had nowhere to go in like a three car pileup. All I could do was just stop and not hit them, and then you got to go to the rear because you're involved, so it just a racing deal. So.
Right. I want to go back to that race you were having with Dayton Brewer. I don't know if listeners can remember this race or not, but it was the best modified race of the year in my opinion so far. And you threw everything at him. What do you I guess what are you thinking? When you're right there, you're right. You can get to him, but you can't get around him.
Yeah.
What's going through your head? Are you like, all right, let's just sit here. We're going to be respectful, not dump the guy. We were both going to finish well, but I got to
Yeah.
find a way around him. So what do you
Well, it
think?
was definitely tough because I haven't had a feature win yet at that time, and then it was the fact that, I really wanted it, and I was gonna do anything for it except wreck him, I've always had it in my mind, you know, I'm not going to wreck them. You know, I'm not going to door them out of the way. I'm not going to do anything like that. But, you know, it got to the point where there was one restart on lap 9, I believe, of that race. And I was on the outside, and I beat him on the entrance. We come out of turn 2. I beat him on the entrance to turn 3, and I would have came out the leader at that time, but the yellow flag flew, and we had to go redo it. And he ended up getting a little bit of a jump on me. Well, then after that, he started running the high line in 3 and 4 and kind of took it from me. So, I mean, that was just racing deal, but I was like, I'll try to just get to him and then try to run a different line to get by him. But, you know, he didn't really make very many mistakes, so it was difficult, you know. I mean, because I wasn't the best on the very bottom, so just couldn't find a lot of drive off.
Are you ever the very best on the bottom?
Some
It
nights we can be. Some nights we can.
just seems like your best runs are when you're right up top, you're hanging it all out there. It just seems
I mean,
like that's when.
absolutely. I mean, and I believe if the track would have stayed, you know, and that's just stuff you can't control. I mean, about 7 to 8 laps into that feature there this last week, the top kind of got a bunch of holes in it and got real choppy. It got so rough it just wanted to shoot my front end up in the wall or over the bank. So I kind of just had to readjust and go back to the bottom. But I mean, I believe if that would have stayed smooth like it was the first couple laps, I mean, I bet Jake, I didn't see a video, but I'm sure Jake was kind of up there, and I'm sure that helped him get the lead a little bit early. But we had the second fastest lap time, even being that far back in the back. I mean, but it just got to the point where it was difficult to make a pass at that point because we kind of just had to run the bottom or the middle, you know.
Right. Now, is that the most frustrating thing as a driver? Is when you're sitting on a track and it's kind of one lane and there's nowhere to you're just sitting there going, I know I got a better car, but I can get right to his back bumper, but I can't go anywhere because if I do, I'm just going to lose 3 or 4 spots.
Yeah, it is frustrating, you know, and sometimes you just gotta settle in for it, you know, and you can try other stuff. I mean, you can try making a brake adjustment. I mean, that's pretty much all you have in the car. So I like to try it, you know. You never know, and try a different lane that someone else isn't running, you know, to see if maybe we'll make up a tenth or anything like that. But some nights you just it's worth settling in behind rather than taking the chance of losing 3 spots, you know. That's
Right.
about how it is.
Well, I've always said that nobody wants to watch that. You know, that's a tough night for everybody, the track owner, the
I
car,
agree, yeah.
the drivers, the fans. 'Cause I've been to racetracks and I'm not going to name them here, but you know, you go to them and they're 50 laps, 75 laps, 100 laps, and
Yeah.
it's just straight around. You know, it's just
Oh,
free
yeah.
lane racing and you're going, yikes.
Yeah.
And
Oh, yeah.
I'd have to imagine that all the promoters are thinking the same thing, like, oh, we missed it, which, you
Yep.
know, it
Yeah.
happens, but.
Yep. I mean, sometimes weather doesn't play in the favor, you know. I mean, there's nothing anyone can really do about that. So.
Right. And I've always wondered too with these midweek shows if that just makes it a little tough.
I think it does
You know, when you're
on the
trying to.
track. You know?
So on Saturday, you know, you get your track the way you want it, and then on Wednesday you have to get your track the way you want it, and then you come back on Saturday and you have to get the track the way you want it, and
Yeah.
that's a lot of time to, you know, because
It is. Yeah.
I'm guessing they have it planned, you know, what they're going to do
Oh, yeah.
all week, and
Oh, yeah.
then to race 2 days later has got to be a pain.
But sometimes, you know, it's just rough on the track because it can't absorb any water. It can't, you know, do anything like that. You can't really dig it up too much or whatever, you know, and let it rest, you know, like you can all week, you know, and maintain it during the week. But yeah, when you race on a Wednesday like that, you could tell, you know, it's just like a different surface almost, it seemed like. You know, that race, in my opinion, I mean, even from this past week, you just stood alone, you know, the way the track was and everything like that. So,
Right. Do you ever foresee yourself kind of moving, I guess moving out a little bit more? You know, maybe run some Deo stuff or dirt stuff, or well, dirt might be hard just based on
yeah.
the tire packages you guys are running right now, but just kind of anything like that.
I absolutely, I mean, we were going to kind of shoot for more of the, you know, the Super Series shows this year, but then we kind of got to the point where we're going to focus on Woodhull, and then we figured, well, I'll just stick to Outlaw and let's, you know, try to get that figured out this year and see if we can make any improvements, which luckily we're stepping in the right direction at least. But yeah, I mean, we went to Utica, I mean, last year one time in my car. I mean, I'd like to do that again maybe the end of this year, you know. I mean, you never know if a race rains out or something, find another track. I mean, definitely love to get out there, and definitely next year. So that's for sure.
Is there a track you've never been to that you really want to go to?
I've always wanted to try Thunder Mountain. I thought
Yep.
that's pretty cool, and Afton seems fun too. So.
I've always told everybody that I haven't been there in years, so because probably since I started this job. But there was before COVID even, there was a year where I think me and my dad went to 40, 50 races.
Yeah.
And I always said Thunder Mountain, when it's right, is my favorite track to watch a race at.
Yeah.
Because it is, I mean, it's the modifieds there are just so fun to watch.
I believe it, yeah.
But I
Oh
haven't been there in a few years, so hopefully it's still the same. But you know,
yeah.
and I it's been a long time since I've been to Afton too to watch a race. I haven't been over there to.
Yep.
It's tough, you know. You commit your Saturdays, and then you lose the travel. But
Oh yeah.
and then with work, you know, sometimes you can't really. I work at 3:30 in the well, 4 in the morning, so it's kind of tough for me to get out on a Wednesday, you know, or a Tuesday, or
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Then
that was back when I was right out of high, right out of college, unemployed.
But I think Sealings Grove would also be a fun track to try. I've never been
Oh
there.
yeah, that's a big one.
Yeah, it's a big one, yeah. Yep. That'd be cool.
How big is Utica? I've never been. I don't
That's
think
a
I've
half mile. That's a
been.
half
Okay.
mile. And I've been to race on Port Royal once too. That was a half mile as well. So
That's a fun track. It
that's a
looks
fun
fun.
track. Yeah. Oh, that's fast. That track's fast, that's for sure. And Utica's fast too, but Port Royal just, I don't know, that's a different feeling.
That's a weird setup. What's it like? Can you see the house on the backstretch?
Oh yeah, you can see him over
So
there.
where
Yeah,
so how weird is it to come out of turn three and be able to see a house right there?
that's crazy, you know. And I don't know how people even stand to live them. But, you know, I hope they love racing because, you know, you wake up the next day and they're covered in dirt. You know, I think it's funny.
I would love to live there.
Absolutely, yeah.
I've told everybody that if I owned that house, what I would have done or what I would try to do is I'd get lawn chairs up on that roof.
Oh, that'd
I
be
would
huge.
make a little window, a door, whatever I had to do, and I'd, you know,
Absolutely.
maybe a little balcony.
Oh yeah. Well,
You know,
get some
would be.
popcorn or hot dogs out, and that'd be a great time to just watch, you
You're
know.
right. Yeah, I just think that's so neat with the house right there. Kind of like Woodhull is with the deer.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah, I never knew how rare a deer was at a dirt track because I see it every week. But then Marty for the CRSA, he said, "Oh yeah, I've never seen one." We're like, "Well, we see it weekly."
Yeah. Oh yeah, I've seen him there before. Oh yeah.
Yeah. What about, I guess, what about one-offs? Would you ever think about doing like the Street Stock 100?
I mean, if the opportunity ever came and someone,
Yeah.
you know, had a car I could run, I absolutely, you know. I even thought about, you know, run a hobby stock one time, you know, because I think it'd be fun to just try something different, you know, just for one race, you know, if someone ever let me, you know. You know, we're pretty close with that Scott Brown there, you know, and I think it's fun talking to him, you know, and I drove a hobby stock in and out of the trailer once. I drove Caden Jins in and out of the trailer, but that's about as far as I've ever got with one.
Well, he might have one sitting around still.
Yeah, you never know.
I think what'd he do with his? 'Cause him
I
and Meadow
believe
had
he
one.
sold it. I believe
Okay.
Meadow has hers, I believe, but I'm not sure what they.
Yeah,
Never know,
that
but
one.
yeah.
Or like you said, you and Scott are, I mean, you guys are similar builds. He might be a little bigger around the waist, but
Yeah.
you know,
Oh yeah.
you gotta sweet talk him.
Oh yeah.
Maybe he'll let you take it out for the powder puff.
Yeah. Yeah. Never know. Oh.
This is what I've been saying for a while now. Would you like to see the laps for the modifieds go up to 30?
I remember
Sometimes.
you saying that, and I believe you said it in one of the podcasts I watch, and
Probably.
I don't think it's a bad thing. I mean, sometimes you get there, it's just a little too late, you know, and you wish you had those extra five. And obviously, when you're leading a race, you wish it got done sooner. So, I mean,
I'll tell you one thing. You might have beat Dayton Brewer if you had five more laps to try to figure it out. But I think that one that you won, I think Carter Crooker would have gave you a run for your money if he had five more laps to
oh
give you.
yeah, yep. But yeah, I mean, it goes both ways some nights, you know. I
Yeah.
mean, but yeah, I mean, sometimes these races fly right by when you go green to checkered, and it's like, you know, it's
Yeah.
like, wow, I didn't have enough time to get to anybody. But
Right.
I
Well,
mean,
that's kind of my thought too, is even, you know, because I've always said I don't really care who wins. You know, I really don't. It doesn't bother me one, you know, I'm just a fan of racing. I could care less who actually wins. But there's a lot of times like that race that you won. Carter Crooker starts 10th. He drives up to second, runs out of time. And whoever would have won, I just would have loved to see it.
Oh, yeah.
Whether you would have held him off or he would have beat you, or
Yep,
I
absolutely.
just would have loved to see it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, great racing is great racing, and that's what everyone wants to see. So,
Yeah. Do you watch a lot of racing, or do you just usually leave after the modifieds?
no, we usually stay and watch almost all of them. So, yeah, that's about every week. We watch the crates run, depending on where we run. But, if we run third, then I'll watch the crates or the late models run first, and we'll watch the hobby stocks run, the street stocks run, yeah, I said late models, yep. But yeah, I like to, just see what the track does, even when we're done racing, see what it does throughout the night, because it's important. So that's for sure.
So you were really happy that we would be able to get done at 10:24 then.
That wasn't bad at all. I mean, that
I
was quite an early night,
I
so
think that was the earliest I've ever been out of there. I
think so too, yeah. I mean,
you know, not 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 at the end of the year, the Wednesday show, just a regular race night with, because six classes is pretty, that's quite a few classes to try to
Oh yeah,
run
it
through.
is. Absolutely.
And be able to do
No,
it in 4 hours.
that's pretty impressive, yeah.
Yeah, that's moving right up. And like, I think, I don't know if you listen, but Terry Pearson, he said it too. You guys are a lot, you guys have a lot to do with that too. When you guys go out
Oh
there and
yeah.
there's 10 cautions in each race, it's tough to get done at that time. But then when you
Exactly.
guys go out there and you race like you guys did this weekend, it makes everybody's job easier, but,
Absolutely, yeah. Oh
and
yeah.
there's some track prep stuff with that too,
Oh yeah.
if you guys get a smooth surface and we can get the cautions that do happen cleaned up in a timely manner, but
Yeah. And sometimes if the track's rough in the heat, it's kind of worth the extra couple minutes in intermission to, maybe dig it up on that with a grader and then roll it back in, just to maybe make for a smoother track, then there's most likely gonna be less cautions, in the features, So that also, just all it's all gotta go hand in hand.
what I've always said about a long intermission is I'm gonna be there on a Saturday night anyway. Before
Yep.
this is before I worked at a racetrack. I said I'm gonna be here anyway. I would rather watch a good I'd rather wait 40 minutes
Oh, yeah.
and see the good race rather than have them race through a cornfield, have everybody tear up their equipment
Exactly.
and get out of there a little bit earlier. 'Cause I mean, at the end of the day, what's it's probably what, 20 minutes? It's not,
Yeah, it's nothing. Yeah.
if you can't wait 20 minutes to have a good race, and I don't know.
Exactly. Yeah. Then you probably shouldn't be racing if you can't wait.
Well, I tell you one thing though, I've also been in the stands where they've not the track I'm thinking of is not Woodhull, but I was at a track one time that put on their schedule they were going to start at 1:30, and I was sitting there at 5:30 still waiting for hot lap. So
Yeah, that's different then. Yeah, that's
I tell you, that's the only time I've ever left a
yeah.
racetrack and I've been mad.
Oh yeah, I'd be mad about that too. So.
And to this day, I've never been back there. I should. It's changed owners and everything, but it was just one of those things where I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. I'm sitting there all day, and
Yeah, no, it's
luckily
yeah.
I had a buddy go with me, because if I had to go down there alone, I would have been really bad.
Yeah, that wouldn't have been good.
It was all right. The racing was good after at the end of the night, but
That's good.
it still kind of gets to you, when you're
Oh yeah.
waiting that long. And but luckily I think Woodhull's been pretty good this year about being on time. And
Absolutely, yeah.
I know that 1 week they got the grader out right before the
The heat
national
race.
anthem, and
Yeah.
I think that night we might have started at like 7 almost, but it
I think
happened.
it was worth it. I believe I actually won the heat race that night. I
Oh,
think that
did
was,
you?
it was worth it. Yeah, we were the first heat race out, and I was one of the ones I started fourth there, and we got the heat win. But it was good they did that. It made it not just a one lane heat race, because that would have made it difficult for everybody, So,
Yeah.
yeah.
I don't know. It is what it is. I mean, I know it's not people's favorite thing to do to sit there and watch the grader or the water truck, except for my daughter, who is 2 years old and loves the
Yeah.
water truck for some reason.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Hey, I had a question for you. Would you be interested in ever signing autographs out back?
Sure, absolutely.
If we ever got you hooked up out there, could we?
Absolutely. Absolutely love to.
Because I think I might try to get some people out there to sign some autographs, do some stuff. Get kids
Absolutely.
more involved, you know, just try
Oh
to.
yeah, I'd love to get kids more involved. Yeah.
It's what
Absolutely.
we don't. I don't know about you, but there's not very many people my age, let alone your age, who are at the races anymore.
Yep. No,
And I
it's
think you got to
dying,
get them
sadly,
going.
but yeah, we got to keep them going. That's exactly, that's why when I was in school, I tried to promote it, as most I possibly could. And, I still am up the college, I'm trying to, show it, and display it, pretty much, a lot of the days I'm wearing, racing apparel, just
Yeah, me too.
whether it's like Stuart Friesen, Matt Sheppard, just that's what I love. So.
Yeah, I think I might have like two Carhartt shirts and then a couple Yankee shirts, and I think the rest of them are
Oh yeah.
are some form of well, I think they're all modifieds, but
Oh yeah.
and then I got the Woodhall 100 shirt on today, but
Nice.
so Terry Pierce would be happy to hear about that.
Yeah. That'd be cool, yeah.
Hey, what do you you said racing pretty much takes over everything that you do. Do you like to do anything else? Like, do you like to get out there and, I don't know, just spend your time doing anything else, or?
Oh yeah, I mean I've been fishing quite a bit, this summer, and I hit the lake with my uncle this summer, and Bill's got a very nice pond, the one that's on the side of his car, he lets us go fishing there, and been enjoying that, me and my pit crew. And then I go hunting in the fall, I hunt, and then we got to have fun throughout the summer. I obviously racing's the most fun to me, and even for the crew, even though but I like to have a little bit of free time, so sometimes we'll do more stuff in a day, and then we'll say, "Oh, well, let's go golfing," So we went golfing one time, and that was really fun too. So, absolutely.
I hope you're a better golfer than I am.
I wasn't very good, so.
Neither
But
am I. Sometimes I can't even get the ball in the air.
no, me too. Yeah, all I did was drive right into the pond multiple
Yeah,
times.
I'm smoking knee scrapers is what I'm doing.
Yeah.
What about in the winter? What do you do to keep yourself busy in the winter?
One of my sponsors has an iRacing simulator. I go on that quite a bit. But actually, last summer, that Leland F. Harris, Garrett there, we raced some Traxxas RC slash modifieds in his shop, Harris Speedway, as we called it. Terry made a little banner for the victory lane we had. I ended up winning the championship. I raced for Scott Drake there, and we had like 12 of them every week, and we did multiple King of the Rings in them, and we did a points battle, and it was me and Logan Warner ended up having a really good season there. That was really fun. We raced him inside his bus garage. That was some fun. And we even raced him on we did some ice racing too with studded the tires and stuff. But yeah. So yeah, I mean, I came home, almost every weekend from college, and it gave me something to look forward to, Saturdays headed over there, and kept my hand-eye coordination, in line.
So what is there? So how can you be faster? Do you just find the better line?
Find the better line, but it's kind of funny. You can adjust the shocks on them, change the springs, prep your tires, not prep your tires, cut them, run slicks, run treaded, and put your weight where you want to, Obviously, we had rules and weight rules and stuff like that, but there was a lot of adjustments that, we can make, but just had to think outside the box.
Do you know what one of them go for?
Car itself was like, I want to say 280, but I think the battery you got to get's another like 150. They're
Okay.
just pretty penny itself. I mean,
Nothing
so
like a race car, right?
what?
Nothing like a race car, right?
Oh yeah, nothing like a race
No.
car,
I always thought that looked like a ton of fun,
Oh, it's
especially if you could get a good group of like 5, 10 guys, you know,
absolutely.
and I don't know,
If you can
spend.
have them continuously do it, it's fun,
Yeah.
So,
And how old are you? Are you 20, 20,
no, I just turned 19.
19? Yeah, see, so you don't you won't understand this. I'm sure you've never touched a beer in your life.
No.
But that seems like something that would be very, very fun to have a few beers with the friends and do.
Oh, probably, yeah.
Of course,
Yep.
I don't know. They're probably pretty expensive to fix up once. Do they break pretty easily once you start bouncing them off of each other? Ooh, we might have lost Aiden Group. Oh. Got him back, but now we don't have any sound.
Are you there?
Yep, got you,
You're there.
Nick. You got you again.
Oh, we're good. But No, we've had some bad wrecks, and somehow, some way, we never broke one.
Really?
Yeah, I give Traxxas a lot of credit. I guess you're worth the money, for how much we raced them and in the conditions we raced them in. But I was running mine, and I just clipped the wall one time, and it come to a complete stop. I would have thought I broke everything in the front end, or destroyed the gears in it. But no, worked great. So.
So what happened once they kind of flip over? Do you put them back up, or do you have to get off the track?
No, just usually, well, we divide it, and in the heat races, then we'd have you qualify for the feature. We found out like six on the track at one time, because not a huge track is about ideal, And we have walls set up, so mostly stay on the track. But yeah, if one flipped over, we throw the yellow flag, go flip it back over, and we do stop starts, to prevent, more wrecks. But that was really fun.
So you're not doing double
Hopefully.
file restarts.
Yeah, we don't do any of the motion or anything like that, but hopefully we do it again this winter because it was really fun.
I tell you, that sounds like it would be a blast.
Absolutely.
Well, Aiden, I appreciate you making time with me here. I
Very much
guess
for having me on.
unless you got something else that you want to get off your chest here, I'll let you go.
I'm all set.
Why don't we end this thing by you just shouting out the people that help you out? I know it takes a lot of people, a lot
Oh,
of
absolutely.
sponsors to, especially two modified. So why
Oh,
don't you just shout
absolutely.
out the people that help you out?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll start off with Bill Dominic. I can't thank Bill Dominic enough for letting me drive the car this year and providing the best equipment I've ever even been in. This is absolutely amazing, and hopefully we can continue to make him proud. And he's became family, and we love having him around and coming up to the shop and helping. I'll thank Dunning Napa. I can't thank Nate Dunning enough for helping me out. The Elkland Moose and everybody there. Amy, the president. I mean, we did the golf tournament with them. I've came a lot closer with them too. And Ivan Swartz Electric, JB Specialties, and Reuben Brook Farms on the Woodhull car. They all helped us get to Victory Lane. And my car, I can't thank Steve Christie, Austin Christie at Christie Construction enough. I mean, they've also been with me since go-karts, and they've helped me out, multiple times throughout the year, and we were even in the Corning Parade of Lights a couple years ago with the race car in it, so that was pretty cool. And then Valley Auto, he's been helping out a lot this year, and he was able to, keep us going over at Outlaw sometimes where it was a steering box or whatever we needed. Then Tom South Corning Collision, GP Wilson Excavating, Rotzel's Family Restaurant, and my mom, my dad, my grandma and grandpa, and then the pit crew of themselves, Hunter Wilson, Dominic Eberlund, Cameron Kennedy, and Philip Borden, because those four, they always make it happen, whether they're there or not, they're checking lap times or keep me informed. So, and everyone else that helps support me, it all goes noticed, that's for sure.
I got it. Did you have a list?
No.
No, you just remembered them.
No, yeah, we were going off it, yeah.
So I got one
And
more
hopefully
question then
she's,
before I let you go. When you win at Woodhull, do you get the sponsors mixed up for the race cars, or is it just one big crew and it doesn't matter who you think, you're going to thank them all anyway?
Well, I try to, keep it. I thanked them all that first night, anyway, because I
In a
was just,
hard yell.
oh yeah, I was kind of, just
Sure.
in the moment and in shock. But they all helped me, and they all help our crew, so they all deserve to be shouted out. And people should all check them out, that's for sure, because
Absolutely.
the fact that they support every other things rather than just their business, shows the kind of people they are.
Right. I've always said that if you hear a business on here that you need whatever done, you need garage work done, Christie's garage, just anything that you need done to go to these businesses, because we should support the people that support racing, because
Absolutely. I agree
racing
with
is
that.
expensive and there's not a lot of businesses that are as willing to help as there used to be. So,
Exactly.
well, Aiden, I really do appreciate you coming on with me here tonight. I hope you have a good rest of your week, and I'll see you on Saturday.
Hope you do too. I'll see you on Saturday, and thank you very much.
Righty, you got it. We'll see you later.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. So once again, D&L Disposal, they should be your first call for your waste management needs. They offer regular residential garbage route in Jasper, Troopsburg, Woodhall, Addison, and the surrounding areas. Aside from that, they also offer dump trailer service rentals for your bigger needs. They'll drop it off at your location. All you have to do is load it up, and they will come and take it away. Give them a call at 607-382-7609 to get started with D&L Disposal, the premier residential waste management service in the Woodhall area. Once again, I do want to remind everybody just that this coming weekend, backpack giveaway for the youngsters at the Woodhall Raceway. So if you got a kid and you wanna pick up a free backpack, they are full of school supplies. Can't tell you exactly what. I'm gonna go ahead and guess crayons and crap, and notebooks and pens, pencils, whatever. I don't know, but they're full of school supplies. So stop in. Get your chance to win that. Also, for the 305 Sprint guys, registration is available. There's a Venmo on the Facebook page, and also there is an address that you can send a check or cash to if you prefer to go that route as well. So once again, I do want to thank Aiden Grover for joining me this week. I want to thank D&L Disposal as the sponsor of the driver interviews. And I just want to remind everybody one last time to please like and subscribe on the YouTube page, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Give us a download, rate 5 stars. And we're at Woodhall Raceway on Facebook. That's where you're going to get all your information. And Woodhall Raceway 64 on TikTok. Until, well, I guess probably Monday night. I hope everybody has a good week.